Mockery Rocks. I am Rocky's dad, just because I like to say that I am Rocky's dad. My legal name is Patrick Boggs. I come to you from Japan. Which gives me a very special kind of perspective, but some of my friends on Facebook, who know me, they know that I am in Japan, and they sometimes say, how can you know about American stuff if you're in Japan? An otherwise peaceful country. Well, all of the information in the English language anyone could ever want is always available on the interwebs machine, enhanced by Googling or any other search engine. I wanted the latest on various demonstrations and marches all around the world, but all around the world, I think, is not rational unless the other places in the world outside the USA are English-speaking countries, and they do speak English in England. On Sunday evening, police in central London issued a dispersal order for the city of Westminster, compelling people to leave the area after skirmishes. Not in that area, but in Bristol, protesters used ropes to pull down the bronze statue of Edward Colston, historically known as a prominent 17th century slave trader who has been a source of controversy. In the city of Bristol, Colston was a member of the Royal African Company, which transported about 80,000 men, women, and children from Africa to the Americas. On his death in 1721, he bequeathed his wealth to charities, and his legacy can still be seen in Bristol's streets, memorials, and buildings. Makes as much sense, or maybe more, to bring down a statue of a slave trader than in the USA bringing down statues devoted to people in the American Confederacy, which was a very short-lived experiment which acted against the United States of America. Hey, let's go be a separate country. It was not a rational thought. It lasted for a very short time in history. And since I come from that part of the USA, it gives me just a hint of shame. So, it's important to notice, which I did not, that it's Colston, which is different from Colson. Colston is different from Colson. I Googled the name of the town, Bristol, along with the name of the man, but I didn't get the spelling correct. So I said Colson, Colson, which still got me to where I needed to go. Chuck Colson was someone who went to prison for Richard Nixon. 2, 3, 4 guys have gone to prison for the Trump administration, but people who love to say nice things about the president never talk about the people who went to prison for him and his administration. Chuck Colson from the Nixon administration showed remorse and regret for what he did and served his time and then started a Christian ministry for people in prison. But after, I found my spelling error. A piece in the publication associated with Chuck Colson's ministry had the story that I was really looking for. The story that I was really looking for is about a guy by the name of Newton. Not Cam Newton, not Fig Newton, but a guy by the name of John Newton. I think Albert Finney might have played him in a movie. Not everyone knows the story behind the song Amazing Grace. It was written in 1779 by John Newton, one of the most respected preachers in England at the time. Newton seemed as far away from godly morality as one could be. Newton wasn't always a spiritual leader. Born in London in 1725, he was the only child of a sea captain and a church-going woman. His mother taught him to read the Bible and go to services, but she died when Newton was just 7 years old. His father and stepmother did less to keep him on the straight and narrow. As a young man, Newton fell hard for a young woman named Mary, and when he was 19, while traveling to see her, he fell victim to a press gang. Whatever that might be, the press gang forced Newton to join the crew of a ship where discipline was harsh and the food was bad and scarce. Newton's spirit was nearly broken. His mother's God seemed far away and uncaring. When he tried and failed to escape, the ship's captain had him stripped and flogged. That was painful and embarrassing, can't you imagine? Later, Newton was transferred to another ship, and he became involved in the brutal 18th century slave trade. The work was horrific and cost many human lives. Yet, at the time, it was legal and lucrative. Newton became known for his wild behavior. He almost drowned after falling off a ship during a party, and for openly mocking his own faith, he seemed as far from God as he could get. But then things changed. In 1748, Newton was on board a slaving ship called the Greyhound. The ship was in bad shape. During a violent storm, it began to fall apart and take on water. A crew member was swept overboard. All night long, Newton tried to keep his ship from going under, and he thought about the state of his life. He knew he had run from God and hurt people and made a wreck out of his own situation. He had even mocked the gospel. Newton realized he might die in the storm. Would God still forgive even after the things he had done, even after rejecting the Almighty? At last, Newton recalled what his mother had taught him from the Bible. God loves to show mercy even to people who feel they are beyond redemption. Newton asked for God's help for the first time in years. He survived the storm. His transition did not happen overnight, but Newton's life began to be transformed. He learned to pray. He found friends who shared his faith and could help him understand how it applied to his life. Eventually, he gave up his role in the slave trade and stopped sailing for a living. Instead, Newton, who had married Mary, became the curate or pastor of a small English church. He also became a writer. One of his hymns, Amazing Grace, describes his very personal journey out of spiritual blindness into the light of God's grace. I don't make a big show of my Christianity. I hope to some people it shows a little bit. You know, we live in Japan, and I was brought up in Atlanta, Georgia, USA, and I was brought up Baptist. You don't experience miracles unless you're looking for them. My wife's property in Shizuoka, Japan, is 3 or 4 very short blocks from the Baptist church. And you know, of course, that there would not be many Baptist churches in Japan or in our city. So it's a miracle that I found someone who could be friendly to Baptist Christianity. And sometimes I worry about our church not having been too stable with choices about pastors. So we've had 4 or 5 pastors in the years that we have been a member of that church. And it was one that I thought was not treated so well by the government of the church. So it was that pastor of our church that taught me, even though my listening skills in Japanese aren't so good, he taught me that Amazing Grace was written by a man who had been in the slave trade. It's a piece of history. It's a piece of knowledge to hold on to. So I do. I do. I do. Oh, you don't want that to be your only story. I try to have a couple from time to time. Let's see here. This is from Reuters News Service. I often enjoy getting things from Reuters. This is written by Phil Stewart. U.S. President Donald Trump told his advisors at one point that he wanted 10,000 troops to deploy to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., to halt civil unrest over the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police. According to a senior U.S. official, the account of Trump's demand during a heated Oval Office conversation shows how close the president may have come to fulfilling his threat to deploy active duty troops in U.S. cities despite opposition from some at the Pentagon. At the meeting, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, and Attorney General William Barr recommended against such a deployment. The officials said, speaking on condition of anonymity, the meeting was contentious. So it was said. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Of course. The president has since appeared satisfied with deployments by the National Guard, the option recommended by the Pentagon, and a more traditional tool for dealing with domestic crises. And you know how much newsmakers like to make news on the Sunday shows. The Attorney General Barr told CBS News's Face the Nation that no active duty troops were deployed on Washington streets, but there were some military police. We had them on standby in case they were needed, Barr said. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told reporters he believed we came right up to the edge of bringing active troops to the Capitol, but added that he did not speak to the president. He expected all National Guard who came from out of state to be heading back home within 72 hours as the crisis eased. I might be an oddball, you know. I have trouble, as I contend that I am a Christian, I have trouble with my fellow Christians as they communicate on Facebook because they think I should be sold on any actions the President of the United States takes, and I'm usually not because of my Christianity, actually. I did not see that much of a crisis, people expressing themselves. Let's just say, as John Lennon did, power to the people, right on. I want to thank you so much for listening to this Rock of Mockery. Mockery rocks.